Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Evangelicals in this country are either gaining or losing power and influence, depending on whom you ask. Well, let's ask Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, about this and how our religious freedoms are being affected by the current religious and political situations. Lincoln, what's your take on this subject?
Well, I've given a lot of thought to this since the last election, yes. And I don't think I'm alone in it. There have been any number of often snide comments about the strong alliance between the evangelical leadership and their voting base, which I think made the difference for President Donald Trump. Right. And so many people have noticed it. Sometimes they're snide comments, other times they're rather bold statements of support from that group, that they're with this president all the way. And of course, all citizens want to be supportive of the government, so that in itself is not a problem. But given the previous comments of this group about the last administration, yes, and about some issues of public policy that they found abhorrent morally, or the style of the politician bothered them and so on, it's just amazing that we've come to this moment where almost to a man, the evangelical leadership and a huge swatch of their base, which I think is tens of millions now, are with President Trump and his administration, regardless of what he does personally or his administration stands for corporately. Mm-hmm. As long as he's going to advance their agenda, they're with him. Mm-hmm. And that sort of breaks the mold for people of any faith, and particularly evangelical Christians. Usually they've been quite, I remember President Clinton offended them mightily by his peccadilloes. And President Obama could do no right in their eyes. And we're all wanting before the judgment bar of God. But I think on the simplest bar of moral behavior, this president tests the limits.
Yes, yes, he does.
But instead, the evangelical leadership have taken to calling him Cyrus. He's a latter-day Cyrus. And of course, in the Bible, Cyrus, a heathen king. And history has judged him a fairly just, if bloodthirsty, king. He came to power and passed a decree that Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good act, and the Bible speaks well of Cyrus for doing that. But I don't see any New Testament writers saying Cyrus is one of the spiritual greats of all time, that he's going to stand at the right hand of God or anything. Mm-hmm. But instead, today, Trump has been given a pass, personally, as a baby Christian, which I'm sure he is. We're all baby Christians, yes, to some degree. But at the very least, I think the role of this evangelical Christian leadership should be to, as Jesus did with Herod, he said he's a fox. Remember, mm-hmm, Jesus was quite sharp, mm-hmm, in criticizing a leader in his time whose marriage arrangements were unorthodox, to say the least, and I'll let people go look up, yes, what Herod got up to. Yes. So this is all the background to this article that just came out in The Atlantic magazine, and I don't overly depend on quoting other magazines, but Atlantic is a national magazine of some repute, I think. Its standard of writing is very high, and pretty much anybody who's anyone has written for Atlantic at one time or another. And David Gergen, one of the leaders in that movement, has written and outlines his disappointment with his movement. And I'll read the first paragraph of this. I think it sets the scene. He says, "One of the most extraordinary things about our current politics, really one of the most extraordinary developments of recent political history, is the loyal adherence of religious conservatives to Donald Trump. The president won 4/5 of the vote of white evangelical Christians. This was a higher level of support than either Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush, an outspoken evangelical himself, ever received." And I've already said this, but I need to cover this from the author's point of view. And he says, "Trump supporters tend to dismiss moral scruples about his behavior as squeamishness over the president's style," in quotes. Mm. "But the problem is the distinctly non-Christian substance of his values, Trump's unapologetic materialism, his equation of financial and social success with human achievement and worth is a negation of Christian teaching. His tribalism and hatred for the other stand in direct opposition to Jesus' radical ethic of neighbor love. Trump's strength worship and contempt for losers smack more of Nietzsche than of Christ. Blessed are the proud, blessed are the ruthless, blessed are the shameless, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after fame. Now, that's food for thought. And, you know, Trump's the president, and we honor him. But, you know, Trump is, like all of us, he's a passing figure on the stage. But these ideas, this counter-gospel, if you like, for the public sphere, may not pass so easily. And that's the true danger of this and the true dangerous outcome of this unholy alliance with the evangelical movement.
In other words, you're saying that even though Trump might be temporary, some of the Pandora boxes he opened may be a little bit more permanent? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, it's not all Trump. We know that we've been bombarded for years with prosperity gospel preachers on television and the right-wing political group in their radio and TV and other programs endlessly give a litany of hurt and harm and how their money has been taken away by the poor and so on. You know, I've often heard them say it. It's my money. I've earned it. I'm not going to give it up.
Right.
Where, you know, any government, particularly a cooperative Western democracy, does have as its principle that there's a social concern for the less well-off. Mm-hmm. It's not that you take from the rich and give to the poor, but you have policies that try to address some of the inequalities of life. Mm-hmm. It's not communism where everybody is aiming at the same level.
Right.
But there is a responsibility to the nation by the wealthy or the wealthier to create support structures. And I think that's being unwound as we look at it.
We have to remember that when our current president took power, there were some real issues already bubbling in this country. It's sort of like he, for better or for worse, brought them out into the spotlight and held them up for the world to see and say, look at this, this is what's happening here. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, and you know, I don't want this program to ever degenerate into what some left and some right-wing programs do, just slap away at the other side or the other viewpoint or the figures on the other side. Yeah. You know, liberty can never be, will never be opposed to this president or any other president. I mean, we have to support their position and the progress that go with it. But their policies and what they might be encouraging needs to be spoken about.
Yes.
And so that's where we're coming from. And yes, he's a man. And like many people in public positions, they often are a lightning rod for larger issues that are already underway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lightning rod can either dissipate something or it can melt down in public sight and spread goo over everyone.
Yes.
Nobody's passive. And so it appears that in this election, certain bad tendencies were actually encouraged for political gain. I mean, it always happens, but very bad tendencies. But any leader who aspires to be a statesman can use that public profile to heal a country. We haven't yet seen that, and it's certainly well overdue. But back to the article. The evangelical alliance is not of a mind to work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the article points out, and it's strange, but it didn't start with this election, but it's brought it to the fore. The evangelical leadership have a sense of grievance. They feel thwarted. They feel ignored. They feel marginalized, even though they're such a large minority in the country. They act as though they have no power and that everyone's treading on them, that all of their liberties and religious liberty is in this mix. That's why I'm discussing it.
Right.
You know, all of this is a threat when in actuality, and I've said it before in this program, now with this alliance and with the dynamic they represent, we're seeing the golden moment for religious entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they want. With a friendly White House, there'll be certain laws and prerogatives established that might make it very good for their narrow view of what religion or religious activity is. But it's not a broad-based vision. It's certainly not broad-based for all members of the community. Different racial and economic subgroups are quite out of the mix on their thinking at the moment.
Could Could we say that this is sort of like when Obama came in power and the blacks said, finally, we have a voice. We have someone in power, president of this country, who can speak for us and to make laws for us and can just change the world for us. That did not happen. Is this going to happen here? Because evangelicals are saying, now we have someone in power who can speak for us, who can make laws for us. Things are going to be different now.
Well, that's always a risk with voting anyone in. They often don't fulfill their promises.
Yeah.
But this article pointed out that while this administration has let some promises sort of languish, they've been meticulous in answering their obligations to the evangelicals. And so far, it looks good for them.
Okay.
And, of course, it's more than just policies. They've been implanted at all levels, especially the highest levels of the administration. And it's worth mentioning that the vice president is, of course, a true card-carrying member, and that's not bad. He has every right to be.
Right.
But, you know, it may be that they're looking through the transparency of the president to their man standing behind him.
Okay.
But no, I don't think this is just a fear. It's already very true, and it's stated clearly that certain things are going to happen because of this alliance.
Right.
And the designation of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, people might think so, but this is hardly a thing that Israel would want right now, but it's something that absolutely overjoys the end time thinking of the evangelical base. Okay. And then the promise to do away with the Johnson Amendment, which was a restraint on political activities by the churches, that hasn't happened, but not for want of trying.
Right.
That was
right.
Put on the tax bill and only at the last minute withdrawn because of the horse trading to get the larger bill through. So now I'm sure we're going to see significant legal actions that will increase the prerogatives and the prestige of certain aspects of the evangelical community.
But as you watch this, Mr. Little, are you saying that the sky is not falling? Is that what we should be saying as well?
Well, the sky might not fall yet. That's in God's own time.
Yeah.
But it's certainly turning the clock forward toward what many of the evangelical group hope for anyhow, sort of you've mentioned it on this program to taunt me, a Christian republic.
Yes.
That is what they want. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions said as much days after he was appointed. He said he does not believe in the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we don't have to think obscure thoughts about what the intention is. It's to make this a Christian nation as far as they can.
Okay, I guess time will let us know just how far they can, and we'll be talking about it here on this program, you can be sure, listener.
We don't want things of this nature done in secret. We want to decide what is the nature of this secular republic with a definite Christian bias in its shared community.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills, right along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.